Coghill, I'll ask if Aches and Petula, we had before the committee, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Hospital 123, Labor and Commerce. This is a committee substitute which we will deal with. And we have deals with Ada. We have the executive director here. So, Bert, would you come and just sort of tell us what kind of bill the House sent us over besides that monstrous title?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bert Wagon. I'm executive director of the Alaska Industrial Development Authority.
The bill the House sent over,
worked on for a long period of time. You did hear a similar bill in this committee some time ago,
and considerable changes were made
that this committee expressed concern on, and I'd like to just give you a flavor of those changes. The ability to enter into, for example,
equity partnership, joint venture relationships was deleted by the House Judiciary, increasing the loan limits to $25 million, and blanket approval for the authority to issue bonds without legislative oversight was all deleted by the House Judiciary. The way this bill reads now, I may issue bonds to January 1, 1991, and at that time I would have to be back in front of the legislature asking permission to issue any additional bonds. And that covers all bonds for both ownership projects as well as my normal financing activities. In addition, the House has, I guess some could say, tightened up the bill somewhat more in regards to projects that ADA would undertake to own and operate. For example, there used to be a $10 million floor that didn't require a various limitations and procedures to go through. The House removed that limitation such that any project that I own and operate now requires local or municipal approval if it's located within its geographical boundaries. Other things that the CS in front of you does, Mr. Chairman, there, on page 3, on line 2, there's an addition there, section 4. We've entered into informal agreements with the international airports in the past. We did some assistance with the Federal Express project. We were involved in attempting to do some financing for them. They eventually decided they didn't want to use us. But I think with the overflight situation, Mr. Chairman, and the possibility of losing passengers and the related fuel flowage fees that result from airline flights, that I think having the authority to cooperate with the airports, primarily in the area of cargo, enhancing the international airport system's competitiveness for cargo handling ability, would be in the long-term best interest of the state.
You're only dealing with their money.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Administrator, Ms. Gridley, and that's, you're going to put things together for them as a process.
It's a cooperative. It's not mandatory. We would have to agree to it. The airports would have to agree to it. But this gives the Department of Law much more comfort that if we do agree on having the statutory ability to entering into a relationship with the International Airport Revenue. The other changes I should point out that the committee may be interested in, Mr. Chairman, and I won't go through the minor technical ones. The loan guarantee program, which was passed by the legislature last year, had over time developed some technical flaws I'd like to refer to them as. This bill corrects those. For example, it allows now a loan guarantee of $1 million, when in the earlier version we had tied the guarantee to the size of a loan. Additionally, it changes from 70 to 80% the amount of a loan that may be guaranteed. And thirdly, it allows the authority to share pro rata in liquidation costs should a loan default. And that pro rata would, of course, be determined by the percentage of a guarantee. I should point out that the 80% guarantee that is now in the bill is a maximum. And the authority may, of course, reduce that under certain circumstances, under certain regulations. But it does raise the ceiling. I have been requested by the banks. I should point out that the SBA, for example, will go up to 85%. There's been considerable debate within the ADA board, the administration, just about everybody that's looked at this question on what is the exact correct amount. Mr. Chairman, I don't think there is one. I think it's a lot of subjective judgment. But the authority does have a body of statutes that allow it to do prudent underwriting of guarantees. And from an administrative point of view, I'm not concerned about the 80%. Live with it, and I think in some instances it may increase the bank's appetite to participate in the program. One last thing I may point out, Mr. Chairman, on the ability to issue further bonds, it's handled a little differently than I'm used to seeing, but I guess it's the proper legal way to do it. It's handled by a delayed effective date. Page 12, section 23, one of those sections, 822, deal with the power to issue bonds, and it triggers on January 1, 1991.
was that the termination date? Was that the work of the Judiciary Committee on the other side?
Yes, it was, Mr. Chairman. In the House Judiciary, the governor's original version provided for infinity. There was some debate on 91 and 92. The general consensus was that the authority should be kept on a fairly short leash, and the legislature should have the opportunity to look at it at a reasonable time frame to review our performance.
Senator, thanks.
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman DeBert, but isn't this opening up, or at least relaxing the standards that the legislature put ADA under in the bill that we passed last year, in which we prohibited any more bonds from ADA?
Oh, that's, Mr. Chairman, that's absolutely correct, Senator. The current law says that on January 1, 1990, I mean, not issue any further bonds. So this is something the authority desperately needs to keep doing what it's supposed to do.
This is reverting.
Extended the year.
Yeah, right.
Sunset.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely correct. You have me on a year-to-year life support system.
I always sort of like to see
your reserve account you had there. They're still intact and didn't do anything those
years. Absolutely not. All remains exactly the same.
So if you're on a year to year leash, as long as your reserve accounts are, it could change by unit. You will get to review it.
When you come back for your approval on what size loans are all loans or bonds?
Mr. Chairman. Of course, I'll have to be back for the approval to issue any bonds.
Any bonds before, okay.
After
this is what we discussed the other night.
After 1991, January 1. Additionally, you have limits that I can work on even up to that date. For example, I can make low loan greater than $10 million. For example, I cannot go out and finance anything that we're going to own and operate in excess of $10 million. And then anything above that, I would have to come to the legislature for your permission. So if you give me a window to work with, above that, I have to come for your specific project-by-project approval, and above that, as an umbrella, is the overall prohibition on issuing bonds after January 1, 1991.
Would you tell us, I noticed in the governor's cover letter, they made reference to Wishbone. Does this affect
Wishbone Hill?
This does affect the plans that are going forward there, does it, or does it not?
This will not hurt the plans for Wishbone Hill, given the current schedule. We've been in discussions with Hideyamitsu. We're looking at providing financing. It's in a discussion phase. I think quite likely the information we have from Hideyamitsu is that we won't be in an own and operate relationship there. I predict that if it comes to pass, the structure of that financing will be a traditional financing medium that looks quite strong to us financially, and I think you may very well see ADA as a participant with banks in providing capital for the development of that coal deposit. And of course, as per current statutory standards, MCS and in existing law, our participation could not exceed $10 million.
And the Skagway, the proposed Skagway project, which is billed as, is take ADA out as a participant, as a owner, as a partner, but this still leaves the ability to, for ADA to go in and still put that project together, is that right?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. What the bill does is say, hey, ADA, you can finance or you can own, but you can't get into that gray zone of taking a equity interest and buying stock in the XYZ Corp and creating a company to build a project. Skagway, as I think it may develop, Mr. Chairman, would be involved a lease from the city to ADA. ADA constructs and has title and turns right of that around and subleases a facility to the city for operations.
Thank you. Is there anything, we have the ability to put something in there still if you want to.
I have one question.
Do you want to make any changes, Senator?
Well, the question I had, and I had a brief chance to talk to Director ADA, head of ADA, Mr. Wagner. And I have a lot of faith in them. That was the House change from 70% to 80%. And remember, we had a big battle in the Senate over this a couple of years ago, or at least we had some substantial discussion about it. It was a battle. And we kept the figure at 70, and I'd like him to comment just briefly on what's the downside of this. I know he's capable of doing that, and what is the positive side of wanting to going ahead with an 80%.
70 versus 80, and exactly where it should be at the risk. If you give the authority the ability to guarantee a larger portion, there is a greater amount of risk taken by the authority. I should point out that when we started with the loan guarantee programs, there were discussions of 85% to 90%. The bill that finally came out had 80%, and the lady recommended on 80% for 70%. For the members' consideration, the authority board has debated this for extensive periods of time, and we've never had a block vote on it. It's generally been a 3-2 vote for either 70 or 80. I believe the risk can be well managed by the authority, because when that program was passed last year, Senator, it was a program that, in my opinion, was conservatively written. And I'd like to just give you an example of some of the requirements in existing law that I think will keep it from becoming a dumping ground for the banks. Number one, the statutes require that there be a 75% loan-to-value ratio, which means we're not going to go out and do unsecured credit just based on a person's good faith. Number two, it requires the ability to service that debt and have a proven cash flow to service the debt. Also, I should point out that the percentages are maximums, and the authority may reduce those. Additionally, the board was concerned enough that instead of just having standard approved new loans, on the loan guarantee program, they must have a special procedure where staff makes a recommendation to a selected committee, and the committee is composed of three people with banking experience that no longer are employed or associated with own stock today. And I think the safeguards are there while anytime you lend money, you run the risk of losing some.
I think everybody has fortitude and scrutiny in the safeguards. Statutorily and regulatory are in place, but that's not going to become any kind of wholesale disaster. I should point out that the SBA, for example, will guarantee up to 85%, and they guarantee principal and interest. I think what a lot of people miss about this guarantee program is a guarantee of principal only. So the banks are going to, just by that very fact, be more not as inclined to dump things because you're not guaranteeing income. Whereas if you were going to do that, you would look to the SBA, because if you sell them a bad loan, not only do you get your principal back, you get your income guaranteed. There's no income guarantee whatsoever. We have regulations that provide strict prohibitions on refinancing. Certain refinancings are allowed, but there are more difficult and stringent criteria and collateral requirements. I'm confident that we can administer the 80% without doing any damage to the program or the authority.
And be of greater service to the developing groups that need it.
Yes, and that's, Mr. Chairman, yes, that's a fine balance.
Worries me. I have a lot of faith in you, but I also know people come and go in these agencies.
Mr. Chairman, I've been hearing that a lot lately. You're starting to make me feel
Senator Pace.
Yes, through the Chair, Bert, should we got a new section on page 3 of this thing, and we've got the bill before us, and the Chairman is going to go through and get a resolution to change the title itself. Should we consider putting in the amendment that passed this committee, the amendment of mine, that when you acquire properties from FDIC and there's a savings on those properties, you share or make the offer for those savings passed on to your borrower? Should we put that in here or just let it go with our chances of putting the letter of intent in the operating budget?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fakes, I would request that you not put that amendment on this bill. I've discussed it with your staff, and I've discussed it with the chairman of the board. I'm quite convinced that we will be able to handle that administratively. And we are in the process, so we will have a regulations project this summer, just by the very nature of the bill. And it will be accommodated within that regulatory process.
All right, sir.
Let's get back to 80%. It came out of the judiciary at 70%. They passed the bill, reconsidered, and the floor put the 80 back in.
On the House side?
On the House side. Was that a close vote?
22 to
18.
Is it here?
See, Mr. Chairman, this was originally Senator Halford's bill on this, and he had wanted 90% or 80%.
It started at 90.
90, right. And the administration fought the program. I think Bert will agree that they fought it, screamed and yelled, carried on, didn't want the program. And the banks wanted it, and the Senate compromised, I believe, at 80% last year. And it was, and then the House changed it, and the administration, you fought for 70%, right?
That's correct.
Now this year they're coming back realizing the banks don't want to participate because there were some pieces missing, and you're coming back saying 80% is more appropriate.
Saying we can certainly live with 80%.
Okay. And the banks did bail some stuff out into it. They did steal it.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Mr. Chairman, under this guarantee program, we have not, because it simply hasn't been very active. But historically, I should point out that I believe it was in 82 or 83, the state sponsored something called the Emergency Loan Program.
Right.
I think that was poorly administered, and a lot of us learned from that experience.
Is a 20% bank participation, of course, administrative charges come off of that, I suspect. Do they have enough money in a loan to be really interested in it?
Mr. Chairman, yes. And I think there's some good rationale for the 80%, because I require under this bill also a 20% bank participation when I actually purchase a participation. The guarantee program under this bill will require a 20% participation on the bank side. I think the bankers do spend a logical argument when they say, hey, Wagner, if you're willing to go out and purchase a loan participation from us and only require us to hold 20%, why should you set a different standard for the guarantee program?
I'm satisfied. I think it's growing up, you know, go a little bit slow.
I had difficulty last year giving them a good coherent answer.
And I guess there's one other issue we probably should address, which is more of a procedural issue. I'm amazed that the House would send over a pile of junk like that with a title that's a page and a half long. And I think you know, they would just want to, they say, take it or eat it, you know. And I don't think that we should deal on that level. That's one of the reasons why I'd like to change the Senate Committee of Substitute back with a clean title, with a good amendment on there, which doesn't offend anybody. Just maybe that might be a message saying that, no, we want to deal on a higher level than this.
Send them back to the resolution.
The resolution has been introduced yesterday. Ready to go. Okay, we have a committee does anyone else has testified in the bill? Linda?
I'll pass.
Okay, I guess this is called a public hearing.
I'll be public hearing.
Now we'll entertain a motion for the committee substitute.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 123, Labor and Commerce, with the new title.
Are there any objections?
Mr. Chairman, motion carried.
Senator Fakes?
You want a motion moved?
Yes, please.
I move we move Senate CS for CS for House Bill 123, Labor and Commerce, from committee with individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Motion carried. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.